Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. And welcome to the Purpose Kingdom Network. I am your host, Evangelist Cheryl Johnson, the president and founder of the Women in the Word Ministries. And this is In Search of the Truth, coming to you live from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, in the United States of America. And this is episode 1983. To God be the glory for the things he is yet doing in our lives. You can tune in to us on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. Or you can always dial in at 319-527-6091. 319-527-6091. We'd love to hear from you. We just certainly thank God for this time that he has given us to share together. The Bible declares in Psalms 119, verses 160, "Thy word is true from the beginning, and every one of thy judgments endureth forever." John 17, verse 17 says, "Sanctify them through thy truth, thy word is true." And John 8:32 says, "And ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." So if you're looking for freedom tonight, if you're looking for deliverance tonight, if you're looking for encouragement and hope tonight, you'll find it here in the word of God. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, we do thank you for your goodness and for your grace, for your loving kindness. It is better than life, Lord. We thank you for who you are and for what you're yet doing in the lives of your people, another day and another opportunity that you're giving us, Lord, to gather around your throne of grace, Lord, to hear from you, to hear what you have to say for us, Lord. And as you continue to encourage us and lift up every bowed down head, Lord, asking God that you would hide me behind the cross, Lord, that they might not hear me, but they would hear you, Lord, and see you high and lifted up, Lord, and that your word will be like a seed that's going to be planted, Lord, and that it will bring forth fruit, much fruit, and that that fruit would in fact remain. Lord, I thank you for using me for your glory. You get your glory, Lord, and you get your praise, Lord. Anoint our ears that we might hear, Lord, and our hearts that we might be moved into action by what it is that you plant within us even on today. Thank you, Lord, and I praise you for who you are and for what you're yet doing in our lives. In the mighty, matchless, marvelous, and miraculous name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I do pray with much thanksgiving. Amen and glory to God. Amen. Come with me to the Word of God this evening, and we'll be looking at and learning from a very familiar passage in the Word of God found in Daniel chapter 3. Daniel chapter 3. And we'll be looking at verses 8 through 20. Daniel chapter 3, verses 8 through 20. And I'll be reading in your hearing both these passages from the King James Bible, and you'll find words very similar to those in your Bible as well, beginning at verse 8. And it says, "Wherefore at that time certain Chaldeans came near and accused the Jews. And they spake and said to King Nebuchadnezzar, O king, live forever. Thou, O king, hast made a decree that every man that shall hear the sound of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music shall fall down and worship the golden image. And whoso falleth not down and worshipeth, that he should be cast into the midst of a burning fiery furnace. There are certain Jews whom thou hast set over the affairs of the province of Babylon, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. These men, O king, have not regarded thee. They serve not thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Now Nebuchadnezzar, in his rage and fury, commanded to bring Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Then they brought these men before the king. Nebuchadnezzar spake and said unto them, Is it true, O Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, do not ye serve my gods, nor worship the golden image which I set up? Verse 15 says, Now, if ye be ready, that at what time you hear the music of the cornet, flute, harp, sackbut, psaltery, and dulcimer, and all kinds of music, ye fall down and worship the image which I have made, well. But if ye worship not, ye shall be cast the same hour into the midst of the burning fiery furnace. And who is that God that shall deliver you out of my hands? Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we are not careful to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hands, O king. But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. Then Nebuchadnezzar, full of fury, and the form of his vengeance was changed before Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Therefore he spake and commanded that they should be that they should heat the furnace 17 times more than it was wont to be heated. And he commanded that the most mighty men that were serving in his army to bind Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and to cast them into the burning, fiery furnace. And verse 21 says, Then these men were bound in their coats, their hosen, and their hats, and their other garments, and were cast into the midst of the burning, fiery furnace. The word of God for the people of God to glorify God. And I just want to talk for a while, as the Lord permits, on this topic. But even if you don't, you are still God. But even if you don't, you are still God. And I praise God for even just that title or theme, because unfortunately some of us have gotten into the habit that if we don't see instantaneous deliverance, instantaneous healing, instantaneous whatever out of our dilemmas, circumstances, or situations, whatever, we tend to say that God is not there. And that couldn't be further from the truth, because our circumstances, our dilemma, our situations doesn't dictate who God is. God is regardless of what is going on, and we have to begin to reverse this thinking and get into our mind. But even if you don't, God, you're still God. You're still in control, even if you don't. And you can fill in that blank. And so as we look at this very familiar passage in Daniel chapter 3, I know that we're all familiar with the story of Daniel's three friends whose real names were Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. But when they went into captivity under King Nebuchadnezzar, he changed their names to be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, names that were named after his gods, and we're talking about Nebuchadnezzar's gods that he worshipped. And they were thrown into the fiery furnace because they would not bow down and worship the statue that King Nebuchadnezzar had built. And of course, the familiar messages of this event or story is that you don't bow down to anything that will hinder your relationship with God, regardless. The second thing that you learn from this story is that God is always with us, even in the fiery furnace. And we learn that if we were to read verses 24 and 25, where it says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar the king was astonished and rose up in haste and spake unto his counselors, did not we cast three men in bound into the midst of the fire? And they answered and said unto the king, true, O king. And he answered and said, lo, I see four men there, loosed, walking in the midst of the fire, and they have no hurt. And the form of the fourth is like that of the Son of God." So we learn that God is with us even in the fire. And we learn also from this story that he can deliver us. Verse 26 and 27 says, "Then Nebuchadnezzar came near to the mouth of the burning fiery furnace and spake and said, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, ye servants of the Most High God, come forth and come hither. Then Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego came forth out of the midst of the fire, and the princess and the governors and captains and the king's counselors, being gathered together, saw that these men, upon whose body the fire had no power, nor was a hair of their head singed, neither were their coats changed, neither the smell of fire had passed on them." So we learn those lessons as we read this very familiar story, not to bow down to anything that hinders your relationship, and that God is always with us even in our fire, and that he can and will deliver us. But I think we miss some important truths that lie just beneath the surface of this story. And I think that when we grab a hold of these truths that are within the midst of this story, we can grasp that concept. If you don't, you are still God. So come with me, and I invite you to take a look again at verse 18 and verse 19. Let me read that in your hearing. Verse 18, verse 19 of chapter 3 of Daniel, and it says, "But if not," 17 and 18, "if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hands, O king." Verse 18, "But if not, be it known unto thee, O king, that we will not serve thy gods, nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up." I'll call your attention to those passages. Amen. Because it's very important that we understand some things. See, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego's profound allegiance to God reveals to us three important truths about our God, the God that we serve today, and we should not overlook it. And the first truth that I find in these passages is God is sovereign. Sovereign meaning he can do whatever he wants to do, when he wants to do it, and how he wants to do it. He doesn't have to check in with anyone to ask permission to do it. He just does it. Why? Because he is God. And I invite you to look again at the first few words of the beginning of the verse, verse 17. It says, "If it be so." And then verse 18 says, "But if not." Just ponder on those words. If it be so, but if not. These three young men are facing certain death, and still they recognize that God can do whatever he wants to do when he wants to. If it be so, God, if it is your will, God, if you want to, God, it's up to you, God, if it be so. That's how it starts. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fire and furnace and will deliver us out of your hands, O king. But look at this. But if not, look at that. But if not, they're literally saying, if it's God's will, he'll deliver us. That's fine. But if he doesn't do it, that's okay too. And I know you're asking, how can they be so bold? How can they be so confident? What gives them that assurance to say, but even if you don't, you're still God? What could have given them that kind of boldness? Because if the truth be told, if we're honest with ourselves, when we are in trouble or facing a serious life-threatening challenge or situation in our lives, we're hoping God sees things our way. We're hoping he'll work it out the way we want him to work it out. And we're hoping that he'll do it quick, fast, and in a hurry according to our own desires and actions. And it'll come out just the way we want it to come out. We don't have sometimes that boldness that these three Hebrew boys had to say, if so, if it be so, fine. If it's not, that's fine too. Yet these three young men are telling the king that no matter how God responds, they're not going to worship or serve strange gods, nor will they bow down to any idol. And here's the question. What sparked their conviction? What sparked their conviction? Well, the first truth, again, is that God is sovereign. But the second truth that I see here is perhaps the thing that actually sparked their conviction. And the second truth is God is faithful. God is faithful. And what I want to do is I want to turn your attention to Daniel chapter 1. Yeah, because case in point, earlier in their captivity, Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego had refused to eat the king's meat and drink the king's wine because they had determined that it would defile their bodies and compromise their allegiance to Jehovah God. Look at that. Daniel chapter 1. Look at verse 5, just for a quick minute. Verse 5 says, and the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end thereof they might stand before the king. So that was the purpose of the king plying them with wine and the best meals in their captivity. And then we skip down to verse 8 and we read, it says, But Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with the portion of the king's meat, nor with the wine which he drank. Therefore, he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. Verse 9. Now God had brought Daniel into favor and tender love with the prince of the eunuchs. And the prince of the eunuchs said to Daniel, I fear my lord the king, who hath appointed your meat and your drink, for why should he see your faces worse than the children which are of your sort? In other words, who are captive like you. And then shall ye make me in danger of my head to the king. He's going to kill me if you look worse than everybody else, when he specifically told me to give you guys the finest things. Amen. Verse 11. Then said Daniel to Mizar, whom the prince of the eunuchs had set over Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, prove thy servants, I beseech thee, 10 days, and let them give us pulse to eat and water to drink. Give us vegetables and give us water for 10 days, is what he's saying. Then let our countenance be looked upon before thee, and the countenance of the children that eat of the portion of the king's meat, and as thou seest, deal with thy servants. So he consented to them in this manner, and proved them, or allowed them, 10 days. And at the end of 10 days, their countenance appeared fairer and fatter in flesh than all the children which did eat the portion of the king's meat. What gave them conviction? Because they knew that God was faithful. They committed themselves to a diet of vegetables for 10 days and water, and God used them to prove that he, God alone, was their only source and their only sustainer, regardless of what was going on. You put your hands in the hands of God, right? He's your source and he is your sustainer. And from that point forward, the king and the king's servants took notice of Daniel and his friends, and the power that Jehovah God had bestowed upon them. Yeah, it's right there in verse 18. Now, at the end of the days that the king had said he should bring them in, then the prince of the eunuchs brought them in before Nebuchadnezzar, and the king communed with them, and among them were found none like Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Therefore stood they before the king. Look at that. Because they remained faithful to God and refused to contaminate their body or defile their body with the king's meat and drink, even though they were captives of or slaves to, casualty of wars of the Babylonians, amen, they refused to compromise. They refused to compromise. And because they didn't compromise, the Lord blessed them. And through vegetables and water for 10 days, they looked more healthier than the people that were dining on the king's best foods and drinks, right? And therefore, here it is, I believe that Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego remembered how faithful God had been to them thus far. So they had no reason to doubt his faithfulness now, even though they were facing the fiery furnace. We're just trying to find out what made them so convicted to say, but even if you don't, you're still God. Well, they understood that God was sovereign. They understood and experienced that God is faithful. But there's yet a third thing that I'm finding very interesting here, that must have contributed to them taking on the attitude and the confidence to say, even if you don't. And that third thing is simply this: God is good. And I call your attention to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. And we're just going to read a few verses there. And this is where King Nebuchadnezzar had a troubling dream that he could not remember. And when he consulted the wise men, the magicians, and the sorcerers, and the astrologers, they couldn't recall it for him. Come on, let's take a look at that. Take a look at that. Daniel chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. There you find the words. It says, "And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar," so they're 2 years into this captivity now, "Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled, and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said to them, 'I've dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream.' Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, 'O king, live thou forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show you the interpretation of it.' And the king answered and said to the Chaldeans, 'The thing is gone from me.'" I don't remember, in other words. "If you will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces, and your houses shall be made a dunghill." Y'all see that? So now they're in the midst of this thing, and the king has this dream, and he can't remember what it's all about. And he's asking the people, the wise people that he knows, the magicians and the sorcerers and all of those, to help him recall the dream. And then not only help him to recall it, but help him to interpret that dream. And since they weren't able to do that, the Bible's going to tell us that the king set forth a decree to slay all the wise men of Babylon, and that included Daniel and his three friends. Yeah, let's look at that. Chapter 2, Daniel, verse 12 and 13. What's it say? It says, "For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. And the decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain." You see that? We're talking about, but God's going to be good. See, and because they recognize this in their present dilemma, I think this is one of the reasons they could say what they wanted, what they had boldly said unto the king. But see, Daniel knew that he served a good and a just and fair God. So we're going to read where Daniel and his friends petition and pray, and we're going to see what God does for Daniel. Let's take a look. Let's go back to that. Let's go back. Verse 15, and he answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time, that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that's Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, and Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed to Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Amen. Look at that. Look at that. Look at that. Daniel goes, after he finds out what's going on about why this hasty decree and all, he goes and gathers with his three friends, and they go into prayer. Because Daniel and his three friends are wise enough to know that they can't see into the future. They can't read people's mind, but God can reveal whatever to them. And God has that ability because he's just that good. And since they served a good and fair and just God, God's not going to see them destroyed behind something that the fury of the king, because he can't remember his dream and he does not know the interpretation of it. So Daniel and his friends, they positioned themselves and they petitioned the Lord and they prayed. And then Jehovah God reveals the dream to Daniel, and he's able to share the interpretation of the dream with the king. Let's look again. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. We're almost there. All right. So it says that Daniel blessed God because the dream was revealed to him. So Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his." Mm-hmm. Yeah, keep going. "And he changes the times and the seasons. He removes kings and sets up kings. He gives wisdom unto the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness and the light that dwells with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hath given me wisdom and might." See, he know where his wisdom and might comes from. "And has made known unto me what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. And he went and said thus to him, "Destroy not the wise men of Babylon. Bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation." And Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste and said thus unto him, "I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation." And the king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, yeah, they changed his name, "Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen and the interpretation thereof?" And Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, "The secret which the king has demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, magicians, and soothsayers show unto you, king? But there is a God, hallelujah, in heaven that reveals secrets and makes known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in latter days. Your dream and the visions of your head upon your bed are these." And Daniel proceeds to tell Nebuchadnezzar what that dream was about. And that's another story for another time. But what I wanted you to understand is the reason why Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, getting ready to face the fiery furnace, was so convicted and sure that they told King Nebuchadnezzar at that time that if it be so, our God will deliver it. But if he doesn't want to do it, that's okay. We still not bowing down. And their conviction came because they said, God is sovereign. He will do what he wants to do when he wants to do it. and is not predicated on anything that's happening to me, but everything is predicated on God himself. The second thing that they realize is that God is faithful. He did it before, and if he wants to, he will do it again. And so we got to get to that point where we draw on our experiential knowledge. Experiential knowledge is you experience something and you know that you can testify that God has done that thing for you because he did it for you. And now you can say that you know God is a healer, that you know God is a deliverer, that you know God is a waymaker, that God is a provider, that God is your refuge, your fortress, your strength, your present help in the time of trouble. You know that because you have experienced something that led you to that conclusion that God is faithful. Even where we're not, God is faithful. If he says, I'm not going to leave you, I'm not going to forsake you, then he doesn't do that. He doesn't leave you and he doesn't forsake you. If he says, I'm going to deliver you, he's going to do that. He's going to deliver you. I'm going to heal you. He's going to heal you. Why? Because God is faithful. And the third truth that gave them the conviction and the boldness to declare, but even if you don't, you're still God, was the fact that they realize, understand, and recognize that God is good. In other words, he's fair, he's just, he's good. God is good. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. And when we can grasp that and put those things under our belt, then we can stand before our situation, our dilemma, and our circumstances, and declare like they declare, that God is good. Amen. All right, so here it is, here it is, here it is. This is what I'm really coming to. When we go back to chapter 3, and we see that our friends, Rachak, Meshach, and Abednego, get ready to get thrown into the fiery furnace, and makes this declaration, right? The conclusion of the whole matter is this. Because we know who God is, we can trust him to handle whatever comes our way. See, I can boldly stand in the face of things that are facing me even right now and say, God, if it's your will, let it be so. But even if you don't, you're still God. I can decree and declare that because I trust him to handle whatever comes my way. There's nothing, nothing too hard for God. There's nothing that goes on in my life. There's nothing that goes on in your life or anybody else's life that God doesn't already know about. God sees the end from the beginning. He knows the path that we take. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And he knows what lies ahead for us. And if we just put our trust in him, and that he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ask or even think or can imagine. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And that nothing is too hard for God. He will handle whatever comes our way. Then we can stand like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego and boldly say, I know you're able and I know you can. You can deliver me with your mighty hand. But even if you don't, you are still God of my life. You are still God on the throne. You are still God of the universe. You're still God. 100% God, all-knowing God, all-powerful God, omnipresent God, here, there, everywhere at the same time. You're still God. And me being delivered from whatever doesn't dictate how much God you are. Like it doesn't mean it doesn't have anything to do with whether you're God or not. You're God regardless of my dilemma. You're God regardless of my situation, regardless of my trial, regardless of my tribulation. You are still God. And because you're still God, you can do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do it, and how you want to do it. You can handle my situation. You are a faithful God. You are still God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. And our hope is in God alone. Why? Because he's sovereign and he's faithful and he's good. No matter what comes our way, that is who God is. And if we can grasp that, if we can wrap our head around that, if we can get that down on the inside, then our troubles and our dilemmas and our situations and our circumstances, no matter how harrowing they are or how hectic they are or how overwhelming they can be, if we can just get it down on the inside that God is still God, God's a sovereign God, He's a faithful God, He's a loving God, He's a good God, He sees me where I am, and He can do and is preparing a way for me to get out of wherever I am in, and I need to be patient, and I need to get it down on the inside that I'm not going to worry myself over this thing, because God is still God. Regardless of what's going on in my life, God is still God. No matter how I feel, God is still God. That should be one less thing on my plate to concern myself with, because God is still God. He's sovereign. He will do whatever He wants to do. He'll handle it the way He wants to handle it. Not according to my will, but according to His will, it will be done. And even if He doesn't, He's still God. Why? Because He got a better plan for me. And see, if we get that down on the inside, we won't be so quick and so hasty to try to rush God and then count Him all out when it doesn't happen in our timing. See, we sabotage our own way of thinking. We get ourselves all torn up and all twisted up because we've put God on our time schedule. And God doesn't move according to our time schedule. Time is for man. Time is not for God. God has this thing, while you trying to figure it out, God has already worked it out. And here it is, and you're fighting a battle that He has already won. Ooh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. If we could get that down on the inside, then we can confidently say, just like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, if it be so, our God will deliver us. He's able to deliver us. But even if He doesn't, we're not going to crumble. We're not going to bow down. We're not going to throw in the towel. We're not going to give up. We're not going to go through. We're not going to doubt God. We're not going to do none of that stuff. We're not going to worship your idol. We're not going to worship this dilemma that we're in. We're not going to give it any credence. Matter of fact, we're not even going to make our dilemma or our trial or our situation bigger than our God. Because our God can do anything but fail. Our God can handle any situation. Our God can calm the seas. Our God can do all of that, because that's the kind of God that we serve. He's sovereign, He's faithful, and He's good. He's a good God. And He promised in His word that all things work together for the good of them that love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. All things. Not some things, not half of the things. No, all things work together. So it might not look good to you right now, but God says, I'm working that thing out for your good and for my glory. That thing might not be comfortable right now, but God says, I'm working that thing out for your good and for my glory. That thing might be a hassle, overwhelming, or pressing you down, or whatever the case may be, but God said, I'm working it out for your good and for my glory, that I might be glorified, so that you know when you come through this thing, you know that you didn't do it by yourself. You know that God took you through it, because if God takes you to it, He's going to definitely take you through it. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to God. So I'm praying this message this evening falls on good ground, and that you might be able to give God the glory and give God the praise and confidently say, but even if you don't, I know that you are still God. And because you're still God, you made some promises to me. You promised never to leave me. You promised never to forsake me. You promised to deliver me. You promised to heal me. You promised to save me. You promised to be my refuge, my fortress, my strength, my present help in the time of trouble. You promised that, God. And because God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he would repent, had he not said, and will he not do it, God's going to do what he says he's going to do, because his word will not return unto him void, but it will accomplish what he has sent it out to do. And all he's asking us to do, you to do, and me to do, is to trust and believe that God is able, and that we know that he's able, that we know that he can reach through the fire with his mighty hand. And even if he don't, our hopes in God alone, our hope is in God alone, because he's sovereign, because he's faithful, and because he's good, come what may. Amen, amen. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. God is so good. Look, I know I said a lot today. I know I said a lot this evening. And I'm praying that it's falling on good ground, and that you'll grasp a hold of those three truths: God's sovereign, God's faithful, God's good. And that's why he's going to do what he said he's going to do. And don't worry, don't fret. Don't give more credence to what you're in than you need to. Just focus on who God is. God's bigger than all our problems, bigger than all our circumstances, bigger than all our dilemmas, bigger than all our trials. God's big. We serve a great, big, wonderful God. But perhaps you don't know God like that. Maybe you don't even know the God that I'm talking about. I'm talking about the God of your salvation, the one that you need to surrender to. That's what I'm talking about. And you've tried everything else, and you tried being out there by yourself, and you tried this and you tried that, and none of that has worked. And here it is. That's because you need Jesus. You need Jesus. You need Jesus because you have a past, and you can't go back, but he can. Because the Bible says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And he can walk into those places in your life full of sin and failure, and he can wipe that slate clean and give you a new beginning. You need Jesus. You need Jesus because you need a friend. And Jesus knows the worst about you, yet he believes the why, because he sees you not as you are, but as you will be when he gets through with you. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our fears and trials to bear. What a privilege it is to carry everything to Jesus in prayer. You need Jesus because he holds the future. Who else you going to trust? In his hands, you're safe. In his hand, you're secure, not only today, but tomorrow and for an eternity. And his word said, "For I know the plans that I have toward you, plans of good and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope." And in those days when you pray, God said, "I will listen. And while you're yet calling, I will answer you." And guess what? Today, you can begin a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ today. And then you can confidently say, "You're sovereign, you're faithful, you're good. And even if you don't, you're still God. You're still God." Just simply pray this prayer with me. "Lord Jesus, I invite you into my life, and I believe you died for me, and that your blood paid for my sins and provided me with the gift of eternal life. And by faith, I receive that gift, and I acknowledge you as my Lord and as my Savior." And if you prayed that prayer and sincerely meant that within your heart, welcome to the family of God. Welcome to the family of God. And today begins the first day of the rest of your life as a new creature in Christ. Amen. Because the word of God says, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. You're in just like that. Now, in order to live this abundant life, this life that God has for you and the promises that he has, you're going to need to seek out, connect with, and join up with a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching church. And you need to get a Bible. Amen. You got to know the game plan. All right. Because you want to know and you want to grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And you want to learn about the many promises that God has for you in his word. Amen. Amen. Now I'm going to turn it over to Brother Rob, who is coming to you with announcements and things that you'll want to know. Brother Rob.
Yes, yes. Thank you so much, Evangelist Cheryl, for tonight's episode. Truly enjoyed it. Okay, real quickly, this is the Product Purpose Kingdom Network. I'd like to thank each and every one of you for joining us for tonight's episode. No matter where in the world you are, whether you listen to us via phone or internet, we greatly appreciate your listenership and support for us here at Purpose Kingdom Network. And we also appreciate those that share with your friends and family members. Let them know that Purpose Kingdom Network is on the air. Anytime we do a live broadcast, we're broadcasting live on www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. And when we do a live show, we do have a caller number, which is 319-527-6091. Anytime you want to talk to any one of our hosts, you can just press the number 1 and we'll get you in as quickly as we can. Also, if you want to hear any of our past shows, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Purpose Kingdom. All you have to do is simply type in the host name or the show name, and you can hear that show in its entirety and at your convenience. Also, if you want to connect with us via email, you can email us at purposekingdomnet@gmail.com, where you can see your comments, questions, concerns. You can simply say hello or say send a prayer request. We gladly honor that. And also, if you're in need of a Bible, just leave your contact information, and we'll see about getting you a Bible. Okay. If you want to enjoy yourself with music of inspiration, just check out pkn.com. You have 24 hours of music of inspiration. Okay. We do have social media pages. We are on Instagram and Twitter under the handle purpose_kingdom. Okay, and well, God's blessing, please join us tomorrow evening. Also at the 8:30 p.m. hour, we're going to have self-expression. That's going to be hosted by me, Brother Robert Pop Hudson. So check me out tomorrow evening at 8:30. Well, God's will and God's blessing. I hope you join me at 8:30 for self-expressions, and it's going to be hosted by me, Brother Robert Pop Hudson. Okay, with that, it's going to be the end of the announcements, and I want to hand the show back over to Evangelist Cheryl. And Evangelist Cheryl, great show tonight.
God bless you. Thank you, my brother. And praise the Lord for everyone, again, that was listening under the sound of my voice. I know God spoke to someone today, and I ask you and I pray and I beg you to grab on with confidence, because you know God is good, God is faithful, God is sovereign. He's not going to leave you hanging. He's able to do, and he can and will deliver you. Get that boldness that the three Hebrew boys had to say, if it be so, you will deliver us. You will set us free. And even if you don't, God, we're not going down. Because we know that you're sovereign, we know that you're good, we know that you're faithful, and you're going to come through for us. And just like he came through for them, I have to tell you, he's going to come through for you too. Just hang on, hold on, don't give up. Depend and trust and believe that he can handle whatever is going on in your life. Why? Because he's God. He's sovereign, he's faithful. And he is good. That's the kind of God that we serve. Amen. Amen. So until next time, let the word of God be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your pathway. I am Evangelist Cheryl Johnson, and you have been listening to In Search of the Truth. I bid you peace and God's blessings in Jesus' name. Amen.
Jesus fled.
He raised me, I will not lose. He saved me, I will not lose. Set me free, I will not lose.
Never wanna see me down, I will not lose.
He saved me.